It's a Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, and I'm so happy and thrilled, as always, to welcome Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. Audrey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me again.
You brought your daughter here today.
I did bring my daughter down for the very first time. She was super excited.
And she's already shaking her head like, don't talk about me. Don't put me on the air.
She's giving me the dirty eyes.
Yeah. She has a recorder. If we need to fill some time later, she'll put on a concert for everybody, right?
She will, definitely.
She lit up about that. Audrey, and maybe it's apt that we have your daughter here today because we're going to talk about, you do a lot of juvenile defense and work. You work with a lot of kids' issues. And bullying, of course, is so rampant in schools today. And there's a new law making its way. It's gone through the House, soon to the Senate, and we assume then to Governor Pritzker's desk where he's expected to sign it, to really tackle the issue of bullying and cyberbullying. But to set this up, Audrey, you know, I know a lot of us grew up in a different age, right? Before social media, before cell phones. Bullying is a lot different now than it used to be, right?
It's definitely different. Cell phones didn't come into existence until I was in law school. So for me, yes, bullying was so different. It was in person. That's it. You confronted the person, the bully talked to you, whatever. Whoever was standing there happened to see it, and then you all went home, and that was it.
And you had some cooling off, no matter what. And not to say that it was easy. I know a lot of people that are full-fledged adults now who still carry scars of bullying from when they were kids. It is a serious thing, but at least you had built-in time away. What happens now?
Right now, unfortunately, so many students have cell phones and other ways to record. So the cell phones, you can record someone being physically bullied, mm-hmm. or a lot of it is social media, where they're posting about something derogatory about another student, and then, or a bad photograph of someone
right.
that they took, a different student, and then they text it to a person who texts it to 10, who texts it to 10 more, and before you know it, the entire school of hundreds, or even more, see this post or a bad photo of a student.
And this happens like the night before. And then that student has to come to school and then endure a whole day of whatever happens next, right?
Right. And once it's out there in the internet, social media, there's no taking it back.
Right. And you're right about that. And then, you know, it isn't only at night. It's the weekends. It's over spring breaks. I mean, this is like a 24-hour battle that I'm sure parents that are listening right now that have younger kids are nodding along knowing that this is an issue. Who's ultimately responsible for bullies and bullying? Is there an answer to this question?
I don't know. I think it's so gray. So many people could be responsible. Is it the parent who doesn't monitor what their child is posting about people? Is that it? Is it law enforcement because parents complain that their child's been bullied? So what do police officers do? Is it schools because they can see that this is happening within their school and they're not doing anything? I think it's probably everybody.
Yeah, it takes a village. And we're trying to tackle that a little bit with this new bill. So, broad strokes, what is this new bill that, again, is making its way through the House? It's already passed the House in a bipartisan. There were some votes against, which we'll get to in a bit, but a bipartisan vote. What are these changes?
So there has been a, I think since 2022 or the 2020, there's been bills for mm-hmm. schools and that they're required or they should be notifying parents or guardians if they're aware of a bullying incident.
So there's already like a trigger where if you know someone's bullying, you're supposed to report it. That's already in the law.
Right. So the school is supposed to promptly, I'm using quotes for promptly, report it to a parent if they're aware of bullying. But then there's really no definition of what's prompt. Mm-hmm. And what do you do on nights, weekends, school breaks? What is the school's responsibility for that?
Are you supposed to, and with the old law, notify the parents of the kid who's being bullied or the bullier or both?
It didn't really specify, but it just says about the bullying. So presumably it would be the child that is being bullied.
Okay. What does this new law do now?
Now it is mandatory that they shall notify about an incident of bullying within 24 hours of them being made aware of it.
Okay.
And then not only are they required to notify about the bullying itself, but if they're aware of any instances of threats, suggestions of threats, or self-harm to a child because of bullying, the school shall, so that's mandatory, report that to the parent or legal guardian within 24 hours.
Seems to make a lot of sense to me, right? Like, we're not asking the schools to be cyber police. They're not scouring the internet looking for this stuff. They're not required to do that, right?
Correct. They're not required to do that. But a lot of times, sometimes students feel more comfortable to go to a coach or one of the support staff or social workers at a school to report that something's going on. And so then by the time the social worker maybe brings it up the chain, how long does that take? So now it's mandatory, or it will be mandatory within 24 hours.
Right. And this doesn't guarantee that it's going to stop bullying, but at least lets parents know, hey, your kid's getting picked on a lot. That parent can then be aware, talk to their child about it, ensure that this doesn't escalate or the kid doesn't spiral in certain directions. I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to save some lives here, right?
Correct, because there's been studies between the correlations for suicide and of students, and then the reason for the suicide is because of bullying.
Right.
So they think that this should hopefully curb that, because the school will be on alert and aware, and the parents would be aware of as well.
Yeah, and these kids have been through a lot the last couple of years. There's already, we're hearing so many reports from teachers and superintendents and principals and parents that they're a little bit behind on the social skills, you could say, those soft skills, your daughter excluded, of course, but they're all, you know, still catching up a little bit, and you throw an intense cyberbully situation into it, you got a fragile situation.
You definitely do, because these students, they've been at home learning, and then they go and get thrown into perhaps their freshman year of high school. That's a totally and completely different change for a student. Even if you had the traditional, you didn't have COVID, so you were used to being in school with kids, and then you have this on top of that. It's just overwhelming.
As a juvenile defense attorney, have you represented bullies? I guess what I'm asking is, are there consequences in the criminal justice system for bullies, or does it have to be pretty extreme for that to manifest itself?
So I've spoken with other defense attorneys about this, and it seems, unfortunately, that the bullies don't seem to be charged as often, it appears, as the victims of bullying. Because sometimes,
wait, how does that happen?
Right, because the victims of bullying sometimes will act out by making threats, even if they don't mean to follow through on it. Say a victim of bullying writes a note or wishes some harm to the student that is bullying them. A teacher sees it, a student walks past and sees it, and then they tell their parent, and then they report it. And before you know, that poor kid that's been bullied gets charged with a hate crime or a felony threat to a school, disorderly conduct.
Yeah.
So I've seen that happen more often than actually the child doing the bullying getting charged.
Interesting. Criminally. And I get, like, if you're going to write a threat down on a piece of paper these days, we have to be vigilant. I'm not trying to, you know, gloss over that. Odds are they're not going to act on that, right? I think a lot of kids say stupid things all the time. I know I did. Wrote things down in their notebooks. I hate this person. I wish they weren't here anymore. Unfortunately, in the day we live in, the day and age, I understand why students have to take that seriously, or the administrations do. But it is unfortunate then that it doesn't get rooted back to the person who's actually causing this spiral, causing this reaction.
Right. So I think the consequences for the bully are school consequences. Mm-hmm. So they can get an in-school suspension or an out-of-school suspension. But some of that should have some sort of other consequences where the bully themselves would have to undergo a safety or risk assessment to determine whether they're a threat to themselves or others and whether they should remain at the school or have additional services. Because the victims of bullying, that's the consequences for them. In addition to an expulsion or suspension or criminal charges, they're required to do these safety risk assessments as to whether they're appropriate to return to school and if they're a threat to others at the school.
Past couple times we've chatted, we've talked about the mayhem downtown and parents and how responsible they are for their kids. And whenever bullying comes up, a lot of parents say, well, why can't parents of bullies be charged for not keeping their kids in line? There's nothing like that, is there?
Right. There really isn't anything that parents can be charged with for having their kids be bullies.
Nothing they can
do? Unless they incite their child. I mean, you've seen instances where a parent hears about some situation, so they incite their child to go out and beat some kid up, or
right. They
encourage them or don't tell them to stop. So in those instances, parents do get charged. But if the parent is unaware that their child is doing something and being a bully, there is nothing that the parent could be charged with.
Right. Are the parents aiding or abetting the bully to enact some sort of physical or emotional harm? Right. Like say, hey, you know what you should do is go on Snapchat and send this. Like that would rise to a level of potentially a charge, right?
Correct. That absolutely. But a lot of times kids are doing this in secret, or they're after school, or say you're a teenager, your parents aren't going to be in the room with you. They think you're off doing your homework or at soccer practice or at the mall or something. I don't really know what teenagers do nowadays because it's been a while since I've been a teenager.
Do they go to the mall still? Actually,
I don't know.
Pause this. 312-981-7200. Do your teens still go to the mall? That's like the only place we could go.
Right. Absolutely.
Or the White Castle parking lot. We had one in town, 75th Street in Lamont. I think it's still there, considering I moved back to my hometown, as you know. That's where we would go. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't, literally, we were the lamest kids ever. We would not do anything wrong. We would just sit there, order sliders, eat them, and talk in the car. 312-981-7200, what are your teens doing? Back to the conversation. Where'd we leave off before I interrupted you? Oh, kids doing things, and you know, they're off doing whatever they're doing. And there's not a lot of connection between parents, kids, and stuff, et cetera.
Right. And it's hard because kids, actually, their homework and everything, it's electronic on their laptops, on their tablets. So if you see your student working on their tablet, you think they're doing schoolwork, not necessarily accessing a social app or something like that.
Right. 847 chimed in with, I'm a teacher, and fortunately, it's much easier said than done regarding doing something about it in school. Yeah, like, our teachers are there to teach your kids. And obviously, they are our first line of defense often with when a kid is feeling down or the witness to bullying in the classroom. But especially like a high school level where, you know, or junior high where kids are moving through five or six different teachers in a day, you know, they aren't able to put that thread line together very easily and really map together what's happening, are they?
No, that's very true. Teachers cannot see all that. I mean, they're focused on a classroom of 20, 30, whatever students, and then they're only seeing them for a short amount of time. Even if it's a homeroom teacher and you see them for longer, it's impossible for a teacher to monitor all that. Or even if they do see an instance of bullying, what are they required to do? The school district limits teachers on, they can't really physically interact mm-hmm. with a student because then the teacher can get suspended for impermissible touching or trying to disrupt something. So there's a lot of limits on teachers or staff at schools as well.
Yeah. Boy, anytime you say that about physical altercation, my mom was a public school teacher for 35 years, at first at Westmont High School, then at Downers Grove South as an art teacher, like the sweetest teacher there ever was. And she got put into a locker, by like up against the boards by a student once. And luckily she had the width for all to kind of like at least push back a little bit to gain her space. And another teacher came by and stopped the whole thing. But it just reminded me that, the teachers are dealing with so much. And to think about how shocking that can be for a student who are a lot of times they're bigger than teachers as well. Anyways, we've gone off the rails a little bit. Let's take a quick break. We'll have a little bit more on cyberbullying. Then we'll have the news coming up on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. We'll continue our conversation with Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. By the way, AndersonAA.com is where you can reach Audrey and her team. And you can give them a call at 630-877-5800. John Hansen here on Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors here. Audrey, just to recap for people, a new bill made its way through the House. It'll be off to the Senate next. It's about cyberbullying. And broad strokes, it requires what?
It requires the school to notify a parent, mandatory, within 24 hours of being made aware of an instance of bullying or when there is a threat, suggestion, or an actual self-harm to a student. The school shall, so mandatory, must report that to the student's parents or legal guardian within 24 hours.
And there's also going to be some reporting to the state, right?
Correct. So part of the bill is that all the school districts and all these schools, except I believe it does not apply to religious schools,
okay. They
must be maintaining data starting from the 2024 to 2025 school year and for 6 years. And all these schools have to maintain the data, and the Illinois State Board of Education collects this data.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, they can try to determine actually how often it is actually bullying, what type of bullying it is. Is it physical or cyberbullying? And then they want to know what type of students are being bullied to try to determine if it's socioeconomic, if it's racial, if it's LGBTQ+, what type of students. So they are required to keep these statistics now.
Which makes sense because we don't have a lot of bullying statistics. It's more, it's through word of mouth, right? Like, it's more apocryphal than it is data driven.
Correct. It's a lot of parents hearing from other parents or just scuttlebutt.
I like that.
I know, right? That shows my age.
Is there a pizza place called Scuttlebutt's? There is one.
I think there was.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, this all sounds great. And the vast majority of people voted for it. But before people jump on, mostly Republicans who didn't vote for it, a lot of them did vote for it. I just want to say that. Some of them didn't. I don't want people to just roll their eyes. There are some legitimate concerns about the burden that this places on schools, right?
Right. It's an extraordinary burden on schools who are already burdened with everything that's required of them and just the more difficult environment these schools are for teachers and staff.
Mm-hmm.
So this requirement of 24 hours, it doesn't matter if it's summertime, Christmas Eve, spring break, if the teacher has COVID, their appendix burst and someone in the hospital, if that's the teacher that has to report this. So what does that do? What burden is it on the teachers then? Do they have to constantly check their voicemails and their emails? That's a huge stress on them.
Right. I don't want any, no one should be working over the whole weekend refreshing their email, number one. They're probably going to have to assign someone to be on duty, right? Check this email or check this reporting phone line or whatever it is, and then they have to go through it. It may not seem like a huge burden, but that is a lot. I mean, especially for a lot of districts that don't, they're already cash strapped.
Right. So exactly. So each school district, though, the bill allows them to determine which individuals or which persons have to check or maintain this. But it's not as if maybe all parents are going to be calling the hotline. What if they call a specific coach instead?
Right.
You know, and they don't realize that they're supposed to call dean of whatever.
Right.
So, yes.
And it looks like, so you mentioned the reporting to the state starts in the 2024-2025 calendar year. I imagine that this is to give the schools some wiggle room to try and figure this out before it's implemented.
Correct. And part of this bill also creates a new fund that is supposed to provide additional resources to schools to, I don't know, to staff this or to pay teachers who believe that obviously they don't need to be working on nights and weekends because they put in enough hours, obviously, for preparing for school and being at school with students.
I think this is a step in the right direction to make sense. I understand the objections to it. I don't think this solves the problem. And I think people recognize that this doesn't solve the problem. It takes a village. It's going to take these schools being a little bit more ears to the ground and then transferring that information back to the parents. But this is on parents too, to notify the school if they know something's going on, right?
Correct. Definitely. Absolutely.
Goes both ways. It's up to everybody to try and solve these sorts of issues before they get out of hand. Kids will be kids. There will be bullying. This is a different world than you grew up in. Not you. I'm talking to all the listeners. Then if you don't have a kid that's going through this, I think it's hard to experience or understand how 24/7 this can be. From a legal perspective, any advice to parents if they find out that their kid is the person being bullied? Like you said, a lot of victims of bullying end up getting charged with something because they write something down. They're mad at that student. They act out. What's your advice to parents?
So definitely to reach out to the school counselors to see if there's anything that they can do to assist with therapy or providing therapy or counselors. But the problem is there's so many students that need therapy that there is a significant delay in actually being able to see a counselor or therapist, but definitely reach out to the school for resources.
If someone's being severely bullied, can they reach out to you, a lawyer, just so you've started a conversation, you have a relationship with the family, maybe you're able to say something to the school, or you're able to send a letter to the parents of the bullier?
Yes,
I should
definitely.
Just say the bully. Why am I saying bullier the whole time? The parents of the bully.
Right.
Is that a resource you can provide for people?
Definitely. Absolutely. To reach out to us, because sometimes parents or schools will take it more seriously if an attorney gets involved.
Sometimes there's great parents and their kid is a bully. If you're listening and your kid is a bully, should they reach out to you?
They should, because it's not necessarily a reflection on their parenting or them as a person or their student as their child as a person. It could just be some issue that their child is going through that they're acting out and being a bully.
And having a lawyer on your side can help out.
Absolutely.
Because you never know where things are going to escalate, where they're going to go, and lawyers can do a lot. And you say this all the time, Audrey. Timing is important. The quicker someone can call you, have them part of the team to help out, the more you're able to stave off and help people out in the future, right?
Right. It's absolutely important to prepare before everything comes snowballing, and then you have no time to prepare, and you're overwhelmed by law enforcement or the school telling you your student's being expelled.
Nip it in the bud. Okay. AndersonAA.com is where you can go to the website to reach out to Audrey. 630-877-5800. That's 630-877-5800. Way more than bullying, though. Really quickly, all sorts of issues you deal with, right? Doesn't not only juvenile, either.
Right. We deal with all criminal issues, juveniles and adults. Correct.
Okay. 630-877-5800. Audrey, good to see you again.
Nice to see you, too. Thank you for having us.
Tell Nicole, your daughter, I'm sorry we didn't have time for the recorder concert. She's all bummed out.
Another time.
Yeah. We got Patrick Dolan coming in next. We're going to talk employment law. If you have an employment law question, get on the line right now, 312-981-7200.